Hi, this is Matt Grant. You're listening to the Malware Report with Randy Abrams. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. It's great to be back.
So, you know, I wanted to spend some time today discussing a topic that seems to be on everyone's mind, and that's the recent financial crisis that's taking place. You know, I wanted to see if you had any thoughts on how this might affect or is affecting IT spending and IT resources. Have you heard from any of your customers or anybody in the industry in particular about how this is affecting them so far?
You know, I really haven't heard how it's affecting their IT spending. Obviously, if a company is suffering because of the financial crisis, they're going to be tightening the belt strings.
Yep.
And security might not be the best place to be making cuts. It's kind of like if a bank is trying to save money, you don't make it easier for the bad guys to take the money that's in the bank.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. I mean, if IT managers are being requested to cut back on spending in these times, I mean, is there an area they should look to? I guess, you know, it's probably not that they want to cut back in any area, but is security one where they should look to cut back resources?
Probably not. It depends on the company. If a company isn't making wise choices about their security profile, then perhaps there's ways to decrease spending without decreasing security. But if you've got a good IT person and they've made sound choices for their security, they're probably not spending too much on it right now. And so cutting back would be a net decrease in security, which could, in the long run, be very costly for a company.
Absolutely. And I mean, outside of just the effect that it's having on organizations, I also wanted to spend some time to talk about attacks or possible attacks that we might see targeted at consumers and, I guess, computer users. I know, according to a new survey conducted by iTrax, 61% of U.S. citizens say they have security concerns when it comes to online banking. And I would assume that these concerns might increase even more with the recent financial crisis. Is there something that consumers can do to stay safe online, or are there any attacks that are correlated so far with this crisis?
Well, currently what we're seeing, and we're going to see a lot more of it, is attacks designed to play upon the confusion of consumers.
Yep.
So we're going to see a lot of mergers where a couple banks will get together, or acquisitions where a bank will take over another bank. And what happens each time that occurs, even outside of a financial crisis, is the phishing group gets into it, and they send out an email saying, you know, this is Bank A, we've acquired Bank B, to convert them over to our new system, you need to go to your account here and type in this information. And the banks don't do that. That isn't true. So what people have to constantly be aware of is that computers lie to you all the time. And just because an email looks like it came from your bank, it doesn't mean it did. So you really have to be careful that you don't fall for these. If you have any question at all, by all means, pick up the telephone and call your bank and ask about that.
No, you read my mind, Randy. I was thinking in particular about the Chase purchasing Washington Mutual and expecting that Washington Mutual customers have got to expect some sort of phishing attack from organizations pretending to be Chase. And you're right, how their financial dollars are going to be transferred to the new accounts and how it's going to work. Have we seen that yet, or should we just expect to see this?
I haven't seen an actual Chase Washington Mutual fish. I would certainly expect to see a lot of them.
Yep.
I don't know how much information Chase has sent out to Washington Mutual customers. My wife does that part of the banking. But we're going to see it. It's going to happen. It's too big a target for the fish people to skip. They're going to attack these people. There probably will be additional IRS-related fishes around the bailout package.
Absolutely. the Fed said earlier this week that they were looking to provide as much as $900 billion in short-term loans in the next 3 months to stressed banks, and I'm sure that then consumers are going to start to see some of those as well. I mean, is there anything that they should be on the lookout for with these particular attacks? Or
not if they're doing things right. If they're doing things right, they're always suspicious of an email that comes from the bank, the IRS, their stockbroker that says, you need to go to this website. So if you keep that in mind, you should be able to avoid the fish. It's also good to use an up-to-date, a current browser, because the browsers will help identify some of these phishing sites. So if you got suckered into it and clicked on the link, oftentimes the browser can help prevent that page from showing up. It'll tell you this is a bad site. Additionally, using anti-spam software will actually filter out a lot of these phishing emails. And using anti-malware, antivirus software, in many cases will catch these kinds of attacks as well. So use technology. It's useful, but don't rely on it exclusively. Your mind is the best tool you have to prevent yourself from becoming a victim.
So, I mean, overall, I mean, 61% of citizens are concerned when it comes to online banking. I mean, should they be if they're just visiting the site directly, if they're not clicking on links through an email or falling for what might be a scam? I mean, is there a concern, a legitimate concern around online banking, or have we gotten to the point where online banking is pretty secure?
The online banking itself is pretty secure if you type the URL in yourself and don't follow it from a link in an email or something like that. But if your computer is not properly secured, you can have a keystroke logging program on there that you don't know about that is capturing the information you type in to log into your bank and sending it to a remote attacker. What that survey tells me is that 39% of those surveyed need more education because they should be concerned about it. And I'm not saying don't do it. But if you aren't concerned about it, then you probably don't know enough to take proper precautions to keep your computer secure.
Well, no, that's great advice for everybody listening, Randy. Is there anything that you'd leave us with on this topic?
I was just reading today about attacks on voters where people at colleges will get an email or a phone call saying there's going to be a big police presence at the voting site. So if you have any warrants for your arrest, then you might not want to show up. And it's designed to scare people away from voting. And fundamentally, this is the same kind of attack in a non-digital format that phishing is. So these kinds of tricks and cons have been with us for a long time. The fact that it happens on a computer in an email isn't really different. So if you learn to understand the fundamentals of the attack, then it doesn't matter if it comes in email. You'll spot it and be protected.
Well, Randy, that's great feedback, and it's definitely, you know, sparked my interest on another topic that we'll be visiting next week on the Malware Report, and that is how dangerous are electronic voting machines that are going to be used in the upcoming election. So, Randy, thanks again for being here, as always. This has been Matt Grant, and you're listening to the Malware Report.